Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. Whoop, whoop, what? Episode number.
Hey, buddy, what is a podcast?
It's a Brothers Geek podcast, and what we're the Brothers Geek.
Explain what this is.
It's and
can we call it a hiatus?
You know,
it's a bit of a summer hiatus.
You know,
it feels like a summer hiatus.
Brothers,
call this like season five or something.
Brothers Geek podcast hiatus. What a surprise! You know,
Game of Thrones season seven.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Can we please?
God damn!
I can't even tell you.
So we're recording this Sunday, August 19th.
I think I remember. You know. There are certain muscles that you use. Yeah. There's a muscle memory associated with podcasting, so I think once get into it, we'll be able to figure
we're
it out.
We're almost 100 episodes. We're professionals now.
Exactly. You're right.
You know, keep it professional.
At this rate, we're on course to hit 100 episodes for our special Super Duper Live Christmas edition.
Podcast professionals. What?
What?
You know.
Oh, my God.
That is the latest soundboard I've ever heard, dude. You are an audio professional, and that is your soundboard.
What is that?
Is that on your phone?
That's on my phone. It's rap.
That is so sad.
Rap air horn is what it's called.
Rap air horn?
Yeah. This app is great, too. It also does this. Like the...
Hey.
Like the Inception.
We've been on a hiatus for 4 years. We need to introduce ourselves. Good job, podcast host.
Oh yeah, that's me. I'm the podcast host.
Yeah, you are.
My God.
You need a legit soundboard, though, dude.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
That's terrible.
I love how kind of
it's so
terrible it is.
Yeah. It's
honestly, it has a pirate radio quality, which I love, but we're setting the bar higher.
You guys are totally right. So
the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm Patrick Schmaltz. That's Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
And that's Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hello there.
Brothers Geek. We're brothers, we're geeks. We talk about geeky things. Episode 95, August 19th. Here we go. So,
it has been a while.
It's been a while.
How is life treating you, boys? I want to catch up with you. It's been so long.
Much better for you. Tell us about the things that have gone on with you.
Oh my God. Well, I have to own the cause of the majority of the cause of the delay because I've had major, wonderful upheaval in my life over the last couple of months. My family has moved to Tucson. We have sold our house. We have moved into a new house. I was in a shit box down here a few days a week and telecommuting a couple days, or mostly one day a week.
I can confirm it was a legit shit box.
It was a shit box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you tell me you saw like roaches multiple times?
Yeah. And I didn't tell you the story of actually. This is the time to tell the story because it's the first time podcast since I moved out.
Yeah.
There's a storage unit that was tacked onto the back of it, and I've probably told tales of my rodent roommates, and the scurrying above my bed, and remember the story about what I thought was the raptor that was eating, it decided that my shitbox was the place it was going to eat its dinner at 1 o'clock at night every night.
Oh my God!
So there was the sound of the rending of flesh and the tearing of something above me.
What?
That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
It was terrible.
Do you have any idea what it was? Is this a cat? Is it a bird? Is it a?
When I complained about the oh my God, there's something on my roof. Please trap it and get rid of it. The landlord sent out a crew, and they found some sort of raptor feathers. It could have been an owl. It could have been
some
kind of a falcon or whatever.
A red-tailed hawk, which are all over Arizona.
Yeah.
Possibly was that.
But anyway, it was like you could hear flesh.
The river, and so the river is teeming with teeming with rodents and food for these raptors, and the likely suspect was that it was catching food and coming to my place and eating it at 2 a.m.
Oh my god.
Right above my bed.
That's what a sound to fall asleep to.
When you move out of a place, you have to clean it up, right? And so,
how many nightmares about tearing flesh did you have?
What?
How many nightmares about tearing flesh did you have over the?
I had a few.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, that's good. You're out of the shit box. You're into the new house with your family.
Exactly. We have sold our. We moved out of. We put our house in the market. Then we emptied our house. We moved everything. We have so much shit. We moved everything to Tucson.
Also, can confirm they have so much shit.
Mm-hmm. We now have less shit, substantially less, but we still have too much. We moved into a substantially smaller house. We are just the three of us. Oldest is remaining living in Phoenix. Middle child is living on campus at the U of A. Go Wildcats.
Bear down.
Bear down. I mean, we are literally 10 minutes away from her, but she is living on campus in a dorm.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The honors dorm. She's crushing.
College freshman should, in my opinion. I feel that is an essential college-going experience to live.
It absolutely is, and so that's why we are supporting her and her...
Yeah.
And that we insisted that she do that. She has our place down here has the garage is sort of half converted into an apartment, and so that will be her place of living when she's on break and stuff.
The house
we moved into is substantially smaller than our intentionally substantially smaller than the place.
There's only three of you. Downside. Yeah, you're yeah. down. You know.
Exactly. We don't need that room that we have in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And then our house was on the market 3 days, and we had 4 offers on it.
Yeah.
And so it sold very quickly, and we were very happy about that. Selling a house and moving is a pain in the ass that occupies 110% of your mental capacity. And so
now it's
being
over.
In transition and finally getting my. Andrew, you remember the setup of the ante room that's off the bedroom where the computer was all set up?
I do.
We rearranged all of that today.
Of course, you did.
We did. and
what is the sigh for? Help us out here.
There have been multiple movements of multiple pieces of furniture.
The iterations of furniture configurations in that house just in the day that I participated in it.
Yeah.
And it was there were numerous iterations of arrangements of large pieces of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And heavy and large. And as I am young and somewhat robust, I moved a lot of these pieces of furniture multiple times.
You were
and
a big help.
I love my brother and my sister-in-law, and I love my nieces, so I was, of course, willing and very happy to participate in all of this because it's a big moment, and I was there to be supportive. But as a reasonably intelligent adult with opinions, I need to keep my mouth shut all day.
You know,
you did an excellent job, dude.
This family is nothing short of opinions. That's for sure.
That is a no-win scenario.
Yes.
It is a no-win scenario.
It was
absolutely my pleasure to assist in all these situations.
So anyway, we rearranged what is our office. It's a space that is. It's not separated by a door, sort of an archway, nice size master bedroom that flows into this extra space with some closet space and sort of a half bedroom. So we're treating it and it's set up as an office with my dresser in it. Anyway, it was arranged one way, it was arranged another way. Neither of us were satisfied with how it was flowing and it was
nice cover.
Working.
Nice cover, bro.
Neither of us.
I wasn't happy about it. And so we rearranged it today, and I am happy to report that I think this is the one. Functional, this is it. This is the one.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's going to be rearranged twice before Christmas. There'll be two different iterations before Christmas.
That is a possibility. It's always a possibility.
Knowing you and knowing your wife and you, there'll be two different iterations before
Christmas. It's a strong possibility. I am here for that. I am here for it. So anyway, we rearranged everything, and then part of the joy of my life is to set up my command center of computer and everything else, and so I did all of that, and as you can hear, it's all working. It's up and running.
Yeah, it's all working. Well. It's all up and running.
We have internet, and I'm excited about it, except I'm very not excited about the fact that I had Gigablast at my house in Phoenix, and it's not even effing available in this neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
That is a bummer.
That upsets me. Yeah.
So
you're coming through loud and clear right now.
Yeah, you sound great. Well, don't jinx it.
My setup, the only thing that's wired is the Xbox straight into the main TV.
Yeah, yeah.
The computer is all wireless. Everything is wireless.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And it's doing great. Yeah. It's been running great.
That's great. That's great.
So, yeah, upheaval and lots of change, lots of stuff going on. So I apologize to all listeners. I know there were five or three of you that were really chomping at the bit for the next one.
Sure.
So but now, I mean, we're caught up on you. And, yes, you've had some stuff. But, Patrick, you've been working like a madman these last
Patrick. It's true.
Like
it's true. Yeah, I mean, you're going to – Christopher's going to say that it's his fault that this is all happening. I'm feeling like it's all my fault.
Hold on. I'm going to tee this up a little bit because this is pretty cool, I think. I mean, obviously, we can't give a lot of details what you're doing.
I can give no details, but yes.
But you should follow Patrick's Instagram, and we'll give you his Instagram at some time. Yeah. Give it up. But your like daily stories of where you are and where you're shooting, you don't give a lot of detail, obviously.
Yeah.
But a couple of days ago, you were shooting on location at a dam,
Bonneville Dam. Yeah,
Bonneville Dam, and I mean it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the joke. And you've posted about this. Can we talk about – you're working for a very large company right now, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I've been hired by Disney. They're making a
– He's on a Disney production.
They're making a movie in Portland. It's based on a book series, I can say that at least, called Timothy Failure. I haven't read the script, so I don't know much. I haven't read the book, but you can go read the book.
But your job, you're working crafty. You don't get sides or anything like that.
I get sides. I just don't read them because I'm too busy like running around. But I've already signed an NDA. I can't say much more about what we're doing or what's going on
is this like a Disney Channel movie or is this
They got a decent amount of money, but not a ton. So it's hard to tell. Like it's a decent director, and it's a decent. What's that?
Do you think it's a feature release, or do you think it's like?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be feature. I don't think it's Disney Channel. I think this is like theaters, but you know, it's a smaller budget. It's not like $150 million or anything. It's
They obviously got that Disney money shooting at a dam, dude.
Right,
that's some
Oh no, dude, it was beautiful too out there. I mean, if you live in the Portland area and you want to drive out to check out the Bonneville Dam, it's a cool little tourist spot, and everybody there was very nice and beautiful. It's beautiful area in the gorge and between Washington and Oregon. So I mean, it was great. This is probably the best part of my job is I get to go to all these crazy places every day is different. So
that's really cool.
That's one of my favorite parts about the job for sure. And so I'm working on this movie for the next couple weeks and then a couple things on the horizon. So I'll just keep plugging away and making movies. That's it. Yeah.
So, love it.
Yeah. So let's talk about another Disney movie that we all saw. Ant-Man and the Wasp came out a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Do we after we talk about that? We didn't
what
talk
about
this
you,
in the pre-show.
Oh yeah. Do you have anything new to report, Andrew?
I mean, no.
Yeah.
I helped Chris and Susan move to Tucson.
You did.
We
did you locate your red stapler?
I have not located. That is the ongoing quest in my corporate drudgery, is to locate a red stapler. Mm. I am enjoying myself at work more so because they're going to be in construction, and much like a 7-year-old boy, I enjoy construction. Construction projects.
You get to watch this out your window. I've seen some of those on my Instagram mini videos. Stories.
Yeah. I've a web series about the construction of this new tower.
I was going to talk to you about that because there is this visceral joy. I've probably told you these stories before when I, you know, was practicing in Phoenix and we were, you know, on the 18th floor of a skyscraper in Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
And there was multiple construction projects around our building in downtown Phoenix where my group of friends in the firm, we wasted so much time. And these were senior partners that was in my group. Senior partners, we would gather in a corner office and watch the construction happening, and we're just enthralled by it. I watched so much skyscraper construction
over
my tenure at the law firm. It was fantastic.
Can I ask you a question, Christopher? Because it was downtown.
Yep.
How do they get those big cranes in there?
Because it's like they build the base of the crane, and then they use the crane itself to add to it.
Oh my god,
so it's nuts, dude. We watched them do this.
I see these giant cranes around all over town because they're building a lot of stuff in Portland right now. And I'm like, these things are enormous. Like, there's no truck that could take them.
It's the big crane with the counterweight.
Yeah, it's one of them.
We watched them assemble those.
They're like 20 floors tall, you know, and they're enormous. It's like, how do they even get this crane there?
Part of the joy of watching them was watching them build that crane that would then build another crane.
Yeah,
and those two cranes would be used to build the building.
That's insane to me.
It's great. I don't know. I mean, the building that they're going to build is only going to be 3 or 4 floors, so I don't know how tall the crane is going to be.
Those will be conventional cranes.
Oh, exactly.
Because conventional cranes can get as high as, you know, 50, 60 feet. So.
Exactly.
Right.
So
right.
I will be having a web series where I'll post daily videos of what's going on while I'm working. I'm not going to go over the weekend, but they're going to be constructing a building and a parking garage as well.
How long are they saying they're going to do this for? Months?
Well, the building I'm currently in, essentially they're going to – the other building they're building is going to be a mirror of the building I'm currently in, and the building that I'm currently in took 9-10 months.
Oh, yeah. So you're looking at a year.
Looking at a year, probably. The parking garage hopefully will be done first because it's not as complicated to build a parking garage. So, but there are things on the horizon with my company, which, I mean, as unhappy as I generally am during the day working the kind of job that I have, just burned out on it, there could be lots of opportunity in the foreseeable future. So I'm looking forward to that. We should talk about the whole family gathered in San Diego. Another thing that went on that you guys didn't touch on while we were on our hiatus.
Oh, yeah.
Entire family gathered in San Diego for a few days, and we enjoyed the beach life.
You know, it was really cool to be on vacation with all of you guys and all together, the family, and seeing my mother drunk, which...
Oh, my God.
Which
Mom
is
got
like,
drunk.
And, like, I don't... Like, tipsy. Honestly...
You did get tipsy, yep.
Honestly, like, I think maybe, like, 2 or 3 times in my life I've seen her drunk or at least buzzed. So that was interesting. And then her being hungover the next day. I'm sorry,
Mom. We know you're going to listen, but...
I'm sorry for laughing at your pain, but that cracks me up.
It was a wonderful human relaxing moment.
Yes. It kind of made me like chuckle, like just, oh yeah, you're hungover, Mom. I never said that word in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a great weekend.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
No, yeah.
A lot of good times.
It was fun. It was a good time.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of sunshine, lots of beach time, lots of good family drinking, and yeah, good conversation.
Patrick, Chris boogie boarded, and
oh my god, so know, much fun boogie boarding.
Enjoyed
so
the ocean,
fun. Right? Yeah, right? Ball. Yeah,
awesome.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. So, you know, this is the latest Marvel movie that's come out since Infinity War. So a lot of people were like, "What's going on? What's the story?" And you know, the first Ant-Man was kind of like a surprise hit, you know? It was a surprise.
I was shocked at how good it was,
yeah,
and how much I liked it.
Yeah, yep. It was so fun.
I agree.
And
I had no expectations going
right.
in, and
zero.
I was amazed by how good it was.
How do you follow up Infinity War? That's, you know, that's the question I had. You know,
I
it's
think
like the
you
first
exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
told a much smaller, much more fun story.
Yeah.
I mean, we know from watching Infinity War that Ant-Man is not involved, the Wasp is not involved, and just as a small aside, I'm beyond pleased at Evangeline Lilly, you know, being the co-lead essentially this time, and having top billing, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's her movie. There, she has a big emotional journey, and I mean, Scott Lang as the Ant-Man is really just kind of helping her out. She's the driving force. Her and Hank Pym. It was. Yeah, she's the driving force in this movie, and she does a great job as the actual Wasp. It was really, really fun to see that, I think.
And I mean, it hit just all the right tones. It's fun, it's funny, it's heartwarming. Everybody has their own arc. It looked great, it was entertaining, and it was just like a fun little story. And on the end, yeah. They explain why, what happens to them from the Infinity War snap. And so you get to see that, and you get to understand like what's going on, and maybe because of Ant-Man being where he is at the end of the movie, it has to do with some time travel stuff and what might happen in Avengers 4 to fix the Infinity Snap. So although it might be kind of a like a throwaway, you know, don't need to watch it kind of movie, because it's not really connected besides those things, it has a couple of things that might impact the future, I say. So, I don't know. You guys liked it? You guys thought it was good? What's your thoughts? Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay.
Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I commented about Evangeline Lilly. I thought she did a great job as the Wasp, as Hope Van Dyne. She, very entertaining. She's every bit the hero, and if not more so than Scott Lang is.
Yeah.
She's the, I was surprised at how much empathy I developed for the villain.
Oh yeah, interesting, right?
Her name. She has an interesting story, and she's tortured, and she probably had the ghost. I'm forgetting the character's actual name, but kind of.
She's an actress from Ready Player One. She plays like the villain's henchman in Ready Player One. Also,
oh,
so
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
but we should learn her name.
She's an interesting actress.
She does a great job. She does a really good job.
John Kamen.
Oh,
yeah. Anna John Kamen.
Anna John.
Yeah, she's interesting. And then, you know, spoiler alert, kind of, you know, Lawrence Fishburne kind of being a villain, but not really.
I agree with Andrew. I had a lot of sympathy for the villains because, now I'm blanking on what's his name. Hank Pym sort of fucks them over.
Yeah,
and
a little bit.
And he was a dick, and so there's some justice. Now they, of course, they go about it the wrong way, but there is a, I think, why the movie works and why yet again they have the right sensibility for those characters and that sort of little niche they're carving out is that it is the most nuanced of any of the character movies, in my view.
Well,
because nobody is perfectly like clean, and there's conflict, and I think they carry that forward in terms of the villain in this one, in that Lawrence Fishburne is trying to do the right thing, Hannah John Kamen, the ghost, has very clear and legitimate gripe
Yeah.
In terms of what Hank Pym did. And so, and you know, it's entertaining as hell. They do a really nice job of incorporating the powers and the suit, sort of all of that. And there's a lot, you know, the most humor of any of the movies is in this, these movies, the Ant-Man movies. And so I was very entertained by it. And also, I think it contains huge ramifications for the Marvel universe.
What's your theory?
Think the Quantum Realm stuff is exactly
right.
The vehicle by which they are going to, and I think it's tied to Doctor Strange. The hints from Doctor Strange in Infinity War, I think, are directly related to the Quantum Realm shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so because
the 14 million permutations,
exactly,
that he was able to experience,
and that is a quantum idea, right?
Yep.
And so I think that those things are absolutely connected. And so because Ant-Man has access to it, because the Pyms have and Janet Van Dyne have access to it, that is going to be the unlikely but clever way that Thanos will be defeated.
Well, and then you know, we're not really sure about Captain Marvel's impact, and her film comes out before. Right.
Captain Marvel, in my mind, will lead directly into
we know that Captain Marvel is taking place in the 90s, so it'll be way before the Thanos snap, and it's sort of like her story and how Nick Fury knows her, and it'll lead right into Avengers 4.
The fun thing about that is going to be the end of that movie. Where the hell is she? Where has Captain Marvel been?
Exactly. It'll be, yeah. Right?
So I can't wait for them to tell that story. If they do it well, it'll be so cool for her to, holy shit, I heard about Thanos.
Right.
Coming back to Earth.
Well, the whole galaxy has heard about Thanos because, literally, they show a lot of Earth getting the disintegration, but, over the... wherever she is in the universe, she's going to see people disintegrating people. No, yeah.
Right. Yeah, how they tie her in and the fact that it really feels like... I mean, Brie Larson is a legit megastar, and she's won an Oscar. She's got that pedigree. The fact that it really feels like she's going to lead the future of Marvel Phase 4. I mean, I just can't wait. Yeah.
I'm super pumped about it. You know, yeah, I kind of want to rewatch it now because it was such a fun movie. But
the Ant-Man movies. I mean, the universe, that's my only kind of gripe. Not gripe, but it feels tiny bit disposable.
I mean,
Black Panther is a standalone movie. It exists in its own arc. You know, it's Wakanda is important for the future of the Marvel Universe, which is what we saw, and obviously that played directly into Infinity War. But Black Panther doesn't feel disposable, and maybe it wasn't supposed to. This movie kind of feels a little bit disposable for as entertaining and fun as it is. I don't feel an overwhelming need to watch it multiple times.
We should do a list sometime about the movies that are the least important, like Doctor Strange. Yeah, Doctor Strange is on that list. Like, yeah, it's a good introduction to
Doctor Strange. Once I don't have it, it's on
exactly.
Netflix right now. I don't think I would watch.
It has no impact on the rest of the universe. It's just.
It's not even that.
Right.
It's just I don't feel the need to, like, really engage with the story more than once.
Hmm.
You know.
I gotta disagree with you on that movie in particular, but
I really like Doctor Strange.
Entertaining just by itself, I've watched that movie multiple times.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and it's on Netflix, so it's worth a rewatch, Andrew. It's pretty good.
It is.
But
there's definitely movies that are just completely
okay, I saw that. I understand its context, but it's I don't need to see it again.
Well, that's Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Iron Man 2 is great.
Iron Man 2 is pretty good.
The first two Thor movies really are kind of, I mean...
Yeah,
Thor,
dude.
The only
impact that Thor the Dark World has is that the ether ends up being the... What is that? The Power Stone. The ether's the space stone, isn't it? No, that's a tesseract.
The tesseract's the space stone.
What is it then? I don't remember.
It's the power stone.
No, it's a reality stone. It's a reality stone because they give it to the game master or the collector at the end of it. Right.
Yeah,
it's the power stone or reality. Whoa.
Yeah,
man. But yeah. I mean that's it. If you just know that. There's like these little things sprinkled throughout. And as long as you know those things, I mean...
I'm consistently amazed that there hasn't been... circling back to Ant-Man and the Wasp, I'm consistently amazed that there hasn't been a, oh, holy shit, that's a terrible movie.
Right? Like, I mean, we've had 20-something movies.
Such a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
They have done such a good job in these Marvel movies of their team and the talent that they assemble in terms of it's hard to make a well written, consistently entertaining film, right?
Yeah, right.
It is.
Well,
and by the law of averages, you'd think that there would be what in Hollywood. What? There's probably a fourth of all movies that are just shit?
Yeah.
Maybe the percentage is higher than that? That just made and they're designed to lose money?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to compare cinematic universes, but think about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the success that's had, and how DC has tried to replicate that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Man of Steel was good. You can have your quibbles with it. I enjoyed Man of Steel. Batman versus Superman, the collector's edition, the actual 3-hour long kind of deeper, more involved cut of the movie is much better than the theatrical version.
Yeah. I'm on record to say that's a really good movie.
That
recut version is a really good movie.
It has much more depth
people,
to the story.
People
so
were ripping on the Snyder stuff, you know, and people were happy he got fired. But honestly, dude, I want to see the Justice League Snyder cut. And people talk about that online, like, what? Because Justice League was just awful.
Justice League, parts of it are just, you know, well, Suicide Squad, almost unwatchable.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith and all of his charm and...
Margot Robbie just being hot the whole time.
Is,
yeah,
they can't actually make it a success, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and then Wonder Woman for as one that's triumphant. I mean, Wonder Woman was a great movie. So
yeah,
much fun,
that's
so entertaining.
That's like the best. That's the best DC movie right now is Wonder Woman. Yeah,
but that's my point is how all over the place
mm-hmm.
the DC
they're so not consistent. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they've made extraordinary movies. I mean, Winter Soldier, the first Avengers, I mean, Infinity War. They've
mm-hmm.
made extraordinary movies. Black Panther.
Black Panther's really good.
Extraordinary
yeah.
movies. And then they have, you know, decent entertaining movies. Then they have movies that are good, but you don't really
so
deeply engage with them.
This is involved. This is connected, but did you hear the Oscars are adding a new category to get viewership? They're adding a popular...
Best popular film.
Best sounds. Popular film.
It's my reaction when I saw that was, oh my God. So terrible and lame.
Yep.
Well, the Oscars
and
this past year had the worst
lame.
Viewership they've
lame.
Ever had. Yeah.
Holy shit, that's just a freaking terrible, terrible idea.
I mean, it's absolutely
yeah.
awful.
I just hate it.
How do you measure that? You're going to measure, like,
yeah, well,
how much
really
money it made?
It doesn't mean it. Does, exactly. It doesn't fucking mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Legitimately,
yeah.
if they hadn't created that, if they're not creating that
mm-hmm.
category, Black Panther would have been in the top 10.
I'm just so curious.
100%.
I'm just
makes no
right.
freaking sense. No. The fact that there was all this uproar 10 years ago. It's exactly 10 years ago now because The Dark Knight did not get nominated for Best Picture, which made an insane amount of money and was universally regarded as a wonderful, artful, deeply complex film that happened to star a superhero and a supervillain.
Mm-hmm.
There was all this, like, this is one of the best movies of the year. It made a ton of money. Yeah, but it's a superhero movie.
But
it only got one.
Yeah, it was nominated for probably like best effects and like costumes and stuff like that. Like, yeah, exactly.
Heath Ledger won a posthumous award.
Oh, that's right. He did win a posthumous award. That's
a tiny little aside right now. I found a web series called Movies with Mikey. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
And he does long form essays about films that his viewers vote on.
Yeah.
And he's got dozens of videos online. I recently watched one about The Dark Knight. He does these long form written essays about it, and they're some of them are really good, some of them are kind of winding and make no sense. But the one that he talked about The Dark Knight, and he made this point, and it was honestly impossible for me to refute when I really started to think about it. Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker is the best performance in the history of film.
Oh, wow.
He made that point, and then it's all subjective, of course.
Yeah.
But the fact that he stated that, and then he gave a couple other examples of, you know, this actor or this actress, this, and you start to think about it, and, I mean, is you romanticize it as much as you want. I mean, whether or not the lore is that him becoming the Joker eventually killed him.
Mm.
But Heath Ledger's performance is iconic, and it's up there with as good as anything is good to work in a movie anybody has ever done.
I can't argue. I mean,
seriously about it, it is the absolute truth.
Right.
It is as good as somebody could possibly do it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic and totally believable.
Here's the point of all of that is the Academy is so lame that even the Academy couldn't overlook it, and so
yes, exactly.
But I think they would have overlooked it had he not died.
Oh,
it's very
possible. Yeah.
So
it's very possible.
I think they gave it, you know, I think that he won the Academy, the Oscar, because he was dead. I don't think it was because, I think that they were shamed into, okay, this is an amazing performance. I strongly suspect that had he not died, that they would have given it to some, you know, amazing performance in an indie film or whatever.
Right.
And they glossed over the fact they would not appreciate it. It's just a comic book movie. And so I strongly suspect he wouldn't have won had he lived.
It's possible.
Well,
I mean, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a very high opinion of the Academy and how they choose and how they recognize.
So this popular film category is bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Reason for me not to watch.
Well, they're struggling. Their last viewership was really low, and so they're trying to get new people to show up. Like I watched it. You know, I went to a bar and watched it, because you know no one has cable anymore in this town. But it's sort of it's interesting. It's interesting that I'm going to watch it again because I'm involved though. I love movies. I'm involved in the industry,
too.
You know. And it but like
I like the Academy's going in the sense
right.
I mean they've made the conscious effort in the last couple of years to make their
well. And you remember
much more diverse.
2016 was Oscar's so white year.
Yeah, exactly.
And this past year they tried to like really you know diversify and lots more women and lots more people of color and lots you know trying to make it less like a bunch of white actors winning, you know, patting each other on the back. So it's interesting. It's interesting that and this industry has been going through some big changes with like all these sexual harassment allegations and all these, you know, all these things about like women can't carry movies or you know, a black actor can't, you know, carry a movie is bullshit. And, you know, they're just lies. And And so everybody's starting to wake up, and there's a lot of changes happening, and it's
long overdue.
It's long overdue. It's way long overdue. So it's interesting. I don't know. I think it'll impact the industry a little bit, and I'm excited to see what it means. Yeah.
I mean, like everything that we talk about, I think it's always wait and see.
Right.
Like when Ben Affleck was cast as Batman.
Yes.
Let's wait and see how he does it.
Everybody was freaking out about that. And you can say what you will about Ben Affleck being Batman, but I thought he did a fine job. Like I didn't hate him. So, like, he wasn't awful.
Yeah.
But
from the outset, the concept of best popular film sounds dumb. It does.
Yeah, it's a dumb idea. Yeah.
Yeah, but
This is what it is. Just all the other categories, like, if they deserve an award, give them an award. Like, if it's a good movie, just, like, nominate them for an Academy. Yeah, nominate them for Best Picture.
$5.
Yeah.
Comedy can win Best Picture.
Exactly. Exactly. Black Panther should be nominated for Best Picture. Right.
This is such a lame, desperate attempt to pander.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just so ham-handed and dumb.
Yeah.
There's no way that it like works out well. There's no way, because the movie that wins this category should be in the Best Picture category.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid.
Right. Right. So, anyways, let's move on. So we all saw Mission Impossible Fallout, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So,
I want to see it again.
Honestly,
that movie is entertaining.
I will start off with this. Is honestly, I thought Rogue Nation was kind of the weaker. I really liked Ghost Protocol. I really liked Mission Impossible 3, directed by J.J. Abrams and stuff. And I thought I was kind of disappointed with Rogue Nation. This might be my favorite Mission Impossible movie. It is so good. Holy crap.
It's one of the best action movies I've ever seen.
Best action movies I've ever seen.
It's one of the best action movies I've ever seen.
It's so incredible.
It is so entertaining. There isn't a moment where you're like
bored. I was never bored. I was never. I was just so enthralled, and it made sense, and the story's compelling. And the characters are interesting.
And betrayals.
Yeah, there's betrayals. And like, even the ones that you expect are fine. You're just like, oh, shit, okay, well, that's kind of cool still. Well,
it's always so compelling because it's like, how is Ethan going to figure this out? How is his team going to figure this out? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
And you think that, you know, they create challenges for them. I mean, in Rogue Nation, in Ghost Protocol, it was they were preventing a nuclear bomb from going off.
Yeah.
And then in Rogue Nation, they were preventing, you know, the apocalyptic idea of this shadow terrorist organization having unlimited funding and just carrying out acts of terror all across the globe with no kind of ramifications or anyone to stop them. So that idea is so huge and so big. And then for Fallout, they create this idea of, you know, they have to prevent all these catastrophes, or there's a catastrophe that's literally going to happen, and they keep it can feel ham-handed when they keep expanding how big the threat is.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually feel, you know, it doesn't feel silly. Like, the threat in this movie doesn't feel silly.
Well, and that's the thing
that can happen when you keep. I mean, that happened with Fast and the Furious.
Totally,
they keep just building all. You know, all of a sudden they're fighting submarines.
Oh my god! The past Fast and the Furious jumped the shark.
Yeah. And if buy into it, but it could get really silly, but it doesn't. It gets more fun,
right?
And you actually get more interested in stuff.
Well,
it's great.
Well, because like you watch this movie and the things that he is doing and what is happening in the movie is absurd, but it's also kind of like he could have done that. Like it's not like
you buy it.
You don't. It's not unbelievable, like ridiculous action. It's like he's fighting somebody in a bathroom, you know. And
that fight scene with Cavill
yeah.
and that guy. Freaking awesome.
You know what I love?
Freaking awesome.
Well, this is how your brain works. You're sitting in the movie theater and you're like, Ethan's awesome. We've seen him for movies, get in all these fights, and he wins. He's a great fighter. Henry Cavill, big, scary, awesome Superman mofo. You know,
it is amazing.
And the guy whoops their asses. He beats the two of them.
Tom Cruise is a tiny dude.
It's so funny how they hide that.
Yeah,
seriously,
they try to hide it, but there are scenes where it's like, oh god, that dude.
I mean,
is like
Cavill
quite
is 6'2", and he is rock.
Oh yeah.
And then you see him like kind of near Tom Cruise, and you're like, Tom Cruise is 5'7".
Yeah.
He's muscular.
Yeah.
But he's nowhere near as big as Cavill.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious. But that scene is like incredible, and
so much fun.
And the scene where they jump out of the plane, and it's like one continuous take. Awesome.
One of the Halo jump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the helicopter scene at the end is just incredible. The car chase scene in Paris, incredible.
Yep.
Like all these scenes are just like amazing. They're so thought out and they're so entertaining and they connect to each other. Right.
Again, we gotta talk. I mean, Cavill's a great addition. He does a great job. But the best addition, I mean, Rogue Nation's best addition to the entire series was adding Ilsa Faust.
Totally agree.
And giving what she
that
does.
That new dynamic in
so
the,
awesome.
The movies are great. Yep.
Right.
Her having her own agenda and her being every bit the equal of Ethan in a
right.
lot of ways.
She's not like a villain, but she has her own agenda. Yeah, exactly.
But you sense that she does things for the right reasons.
Uh-huh.
That she has a code.
These people are soldiers. Like they're told to do things, and sometimes they don't equal up to you know Ethan's plan or Ethan's you know mm-hmm. goals. And so it's really, man, that's how great this movie is. It's complicated and interesting, and all these characters
like the fact that they don't shy away from being complicated.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You have to invest.
Yeah.
You have to really kind of invest in the film. And then it's great action on top of it, but it's not mindless and stupid.
Right.
It serves a purpose, and you're invested.
And even that fight scene between her and the main villain and Simon Pegg at the end of the movie, there's like a lot of tension there. Like, I mean,
I legitimately thought Benji was gonna die.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie,
the other scene is someone's trying to defuse a nuclear bomb, and the other scene is a guy trying to hunt down a guy in a helicopter and have a crazy helicopter fight, and then you. There's so much tension between this fight scene and this shack. It's like, oh my god, it was fantastic to watch. And if you haven't seen,
I want to go see it again. I might go tonight after we're done recording.
There you go, dude. It's
go out and see it again. I got no plans.
No,
today,
if you like an action movie and you like the Mission Impossible series, I think this is like one of the better ones. And what's crazy, it's the sixth one. Let's talk about that.
This is totally on the spot. What's the best Mission Impossible movie?
Oh, well, I mean, the first one with him hanging in the CIA.
That set piece is cool.
That set piece is one of the best incredible choice of sound and music. The second one's pretty weak. John Woo. It's all right. The third
that's the weakest.
I think so. Yeah, and then the third one's really fun. The J.J. Abrams one is really, really good.
Well, and that added the character of his wife, and he's trying to
get out of
the business.
It adds
a nice emotional depth and complexity, I think.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is like the best villain in the Mission Impossible series. He's so good. Yeah.
Mission Impossible 3, I think, is my favorite of the six.
Yeah.
I think Fallout's a close second.
Yeah.
But I think that Mission Impossible 3 is still my favorite of the six. Six movies.
Yeah.
Only because I'm sure it's recency bias, but I think the best one is Fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I mean,
I'd have to watch them again. I think, yeah,
I mean, there's six of them. Yeah. There are six Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty, and this series has changed so much from what it started as, which was, you know, this kind of a spy movie, you know, not really actiony, and then the second one went straight like John Woo, like slow-mo two guns jumping through the air, you know, and then the third one is so much like Tom Cruise running around, and of course he has to run and be in a motorcycle in every freaking movie. Like it's got to be in his contract or something.
The third one has that epic battle on the bridge with the drone.
Oh yeah,
and Cruise running between cars and trying to fight people off. I rewatched that. They showed Mission Impossible 3 on cable multiple times before Fallout came out, and I rewatched parts of that movie. It's a lot of fun. Set piece alone is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this series has just been very consistent. I'll say that. Like, the second one and Rogue Nation are probably the weakest for me. But like I've enjoyed all of them, and they're so rewatchable and entertaining. Yeah, that
I agree. That, the rewatchability, the Mission Impossible movies are great.
Yeah. So. It's pretty silly, but I like them a lot. So,
yep.
Sure. So, do we want to move on to other stuff? Red and some Played.
Well, I got a couple things to tie into Red and Play, or well, for Red and then watched Sharp Objects.
Oh yeah,
limited series on HBO right now. They're through six episodes. There's only going to be eight total. It's based on a book by Gillian Flynn, who also wrote Gone Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded the book on Audible. I used my credit on Audible, and I downloaded it. And the book is from the first-person perspective of the Amy Adams character in the TV show. So it's all, you know, her limited narrator, her limited experience, and it's about her life and how kind of effed up she is and her effed up family and this crazy effed up town and this mystery of these girls who have been killed in her town, in this small town of Missouri, and how she goes back there as a crime reporter to report on it and how she experiences things and the mystery of it and in re-engaging with her old life. The book is great. It's dark and has a very strong central character narrator of Camille, which is reflected very well in the TV show. Amy Adams is deeply, deeply into this role, and she is in pain constantly, but she is amazing as an actor. She's been great, I think, in this series. So I really enjoyed the book. I like how the mystery plays out. I'm excited to see how the last two episodes kind of resolve things, because there's a lot of narrative weight they have to get through in the next two episodes from what I know happened in the book. So it'll be interesting to see how that play. Oh yeah, a lot of narrative weight in the next two episodes.
I haven't read the book or watched any episodes. Like, give me the elevator pitch. Like, get me to watch it right now. Why should I?
Well, you have Amy Adams as the strong, interesting, flawed central character. You have a great murder mystery. You have this interesting setting of this small town populated with these somewhat archetypal characters, but they all have a different kind of background than you expect. There's surprising revelations of people. And it's an engaging mystery. And I mean, honestly, Amy Adams carries this whole show, and she's amazing.
Wow. All right. Yeah, I mean, people have been talking about it. It's. I just
Chris,
didn't know anything.
Reaction? You've watched a few of the
episodes,
right?
What do you think, Chris?
It's moving very slow. I think that's why I haven't stuck with it regularly. Well, on the move. I was watching it before the move, and so I need to get caught up because the first two or three episodes were compelling. Slow moving, definitely messed up characters and family dynamics that I was interested in, but I fell off just because of life. But I will for sure watch the rest of them.
All right, yeah. Cool. Do you think it holds up to the book, Andrew? Is it like very similar, or have they diverted?
It's been very similar. There's a couple of just for the nature of television, creating kind of an arc that's episodic.
Right.
There are certain experiences that are in the TV show that are not in the book.
Mm.
For the sake of television, they had to create just to give each episode an arc. Because the book can be a little bit meandering. There's central experiences and arcs in the TV show, like flashbacks and stuff, that are really just kind of touched upon in the book. But because they expand on them, you get much more impact for the experiences of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I've liked that kind of change that they've made.
Is there resolution to the murder mystery? Is it like
it's a one-off. It's not like the first in a series. It's not a detective who's like going to have multiple cases.
This is
her story about this town, about what she goes through, and how she gets involved in the mystery.
Okay.
Associated with these girls.
Well, I like the mystery idea of it, and I like that she's just like this crime reporter.
She's a crime reporter, and she just ends up going back to her hometown and experience and going through these things again.
Is she going back because of the murder mystery?
Yeah,
or
her editor. She left town when she like went to college and never went back.
Okay.
She has a very strained relationship with her mother. So she never went back to this small town. She lives in the book, she lives in Chicago, and in the TV show, she lives in St. Louis.
Okay.
And she works for this kind of mid-level paper, and her editor gets wind of these two murders that have happened.
Ah.
These two girls who have gone missing. You find out throughout in the first 50 pages of the book that they've been murdered.
Oh, wow.
So she goes back to town, and she's just supposed to report on it.
Right.
But she ends up dealing with a lot of her issues.
Okay.
All right. I want to shout out Christopher. We've all watched the theatrical version of It that came out last year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The actress who plays Beverly in It plays young Camille.
Oh,
yeah,
that's the Amy Adams character.
She's
so
terrific.
The little redhead, right?
The redhead.
Yeah, she's really good in It. I mean, all the kids are really good in It.
She plays a young Camille.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking her up. I'm on that young Camille. Sophia Lillis. L-I-L-L-I-S.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great in the Camille flashback.
They're currently filming It Part 2, and I just read James McAvoy got hurt on set filming that. So they're in the
Jessica
middle.
Jessica Chastain is playing the adult.
That's
version
right.
Of
that's
Batman.
Right. The cast, the adult versions of all these guys it's pretty good. There's a lot of big actors. I can't believe Jessica Chastain is in It Part 2, but because she's like Academy Award level shit, you know. And
you think you should follow her Instagram story.
Oh, really?
You think that she'd be like this ultra kind of like
right
artsy fartsy self serious type of person? She's hilarious on her Instagram.
Oh my god, I have to follow her.
She's a fun woman.
Yeah.
So her Instagram is pretty cool, and she's posting from shooting because they're shooting it in Toronto right now, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She doesn't post from set, but she posts like when she has days off and stuff like that. She's fun.
That's,
her Instagram is
that's
fun.
Really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, Sophia Lillis, she's great.
All right, well maybe I'll check out this show. I mean,
might wait until all eight episodes.
Yeah,
give it a couple weeks.
So
binge watch
they're
it.
Posting. They're posting the sixth one tonight, right?
Seventh one.
Okay. So
seven of eight.
Okay. Cool. So yeah, I'll wait. Maybe I'll wait another week and then binge watch them all at once. So. That's cool, man. Christopher, do you have read things? Have you been reading?
No. Yeah, I've been very disrupted, and all my stuff has been in boxes, and so not a whole lot of reading has happened.
Okay.
Podcast related reading has happened.
No. All right. Well, now that you have the new house and all that, yeah, you'll get back to it. I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I will.
You will get back to it. You're
always the guy that's
down here,
right.
I will.
Oh yeah. Do you have a local place that you've been going to? I mean,
not really. There's a couple places that I want to check out. And so I will hit multiple versions of them now that we're settled. And you know, I'll get a feel for what's available down here in terms of comics and games and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
And I will report back.
Absolutely. I've read.
Patrick?
I have three big things that I've been reading, or three comics that I've been reading. I read Paper Girls Volume 4, which answered a lot of questions that I had with Volume 1 through 3. And it starts to paint a bigger picture of the story. I mean, I can't believe Volume 4, they waited till Volume 4 to, like, start explaining some stuff. Because, like, I don't know if you remember what I said, is, like, Volume 3, they're really entertaining, but they don't give you a lot of, like, it's a lot of chaos. It's a lot of, you don't really know what's happening. So it's starting to come all together, which is great. I really like that series a lot. I read Volume 24, Invincible, which is the second to last one for Invincibles. Volume 25 is going to be it. And
they've wrapped up that series.
And it's out. It's out. So I'm probably going to go buy it now that I've read 24. But 24 ends on a kind of a big death. 23 ends on a big death. So I mean, this series is ending. So
they've never shied away from killing off characters.
People,
in Invincible,
yeah,
sure.
Invincible, and like honestly, like Invincible has always been one of my favorite comic book stories. And I've been reading it for years. Like when I first went to the San Diego Comic Con years ago, I bought Volume 1 on a whim just because somebody recommended it. And I mean, this is like 15 years of me reading comics.
Yeah.
So it's
issues or whatever, 150 some odd issues.
Yeah, 150 some odd issues, and so you know, I kind of fell off for a while, and then but I've always kind of come back to it because it's Robert Kirkman, and it's a really interesting characters, and the art has always been really consistent and beautiful, just beautiful. So I'll have to talk about the last issue once I read it, and probably the next episode.
Nice.
I've just bought a new book, and I'm only about an issue into the trade. It's called Birthright. Let me grab it so I can say the author. I don't know who this is. It says Williamson on it. Let's see, Joshua Williamson.
Okay.
And it's about a little boy that gets transported into a fantasy realm, and then he. He's supposed to like destroy this evil like lord guy, and then he gets transported back like a year later, and it's been like 20 years, and he's like a man, and he has all these like memories of fighting this evil magic creature, and it's kind of interesting so far. So I'm just an issue in, so I don't really know where the story is going to go, but. It's pretty interesting, and I wanted a fantasy book a little bit because I don't know, I was feeling it, so I talked to the guy at the comic book store, and he recommended it, so there you go.
Nice, that's good to get recommendations.
Yeah, no, I try, you know, I don't go to the shops enough, and I'm not like dialed into the industry enough these days that I'll go in and talk to the guys and see what they recommend, and. That's that. I've come away with some good recommendations sometimes. So if you're curious about comics and don't really know what to do, that's number one goal. Just go in and talk to the shop guys and tell them what you're looking for, and you'll probably get a good recommendation.
You will encounter a good shop. The guys will be very open to help you find a book.
Totally, totally.
If you go into a shop and they're shitty. They just
know. Yeah, exactly.
Just leave.
Well, you know, yeah. So
if they give you a latest bullshit attitude, you leave.
Yeah, exactly, and you get something else. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with that shop because it's like guys who are legitimate, and it's a small mom and pop. It's not like the big store in town. So
I'm looking forward to checking out. There's a variety of places that I've seen in my drives around town, and so I'm going to check out all of them. So.
And Rose City Comic Con's a couple weeks away, so I'll probably go to that. I'm 3 weeks away for first weekend of September, so pretty pumped about that. Have you guys been playing some games? I have a lot to talk about for games. So
every time I see you on Xbox Live, you're playing No Man's Sky.
I was going to ask you about that.
Okay, so No Man's Sky.
I haven't been playing much at all.
It's kind of a bizarre game. It's
the history of No Man's Sky, isn't it? That like came out like a year and a half
ago. Two years. It's a 2-year-old game. Yeah.
2-year-old game, and while it had this initial huge launch,
That's nuts to me that it's 2 years old. But
2 years old, and there was all this hype about it because like you could go every planet would be different. You could go anywhere. The universe is legitimately big enough that you would never encounter another playable character. You know, it's just there's so much to do and so much to see and do, and then it became planets are kind of always the same. They have tiny little variations.
You're always doing you're doing the same like 10 things over and over and over, and that got really boring for people. But like honestly, like it's kind of has that same thing, but there's just now they've just added more. So the grinding is still there, but you don't have to just do that. You can go do this side quest, or you could go do this other like main quest, or you could do this other like big plot quest. Or, you know, they've added so much content. And you can group up with your friend, and they immediately are in your galaxy, and they're close to you, you know? And
Yeah, they added multiplayer stuff.
And like, honestly, most of the multiplayer is pretty weak, because it's, you group up with the person, and you can run around on the planet, but there's nothing, like, really that you can do. There's no goals for you two to work towards.
There isn't like a raid or like or like dungeons or anything.
And
they've talked about
expanding that content. That's what's great about, like, since I purchased this a month ago, they've patched it twice. They've added more content and they've improved it because they're constantly trying to make it awesome. This game is beautiful, and every planet is different. And the ships are fun, and the spaceship battles are fun, and you have like a frigate where you can send out on missions, and it's overwhelming because there's just so much going on. Like, I always have tons of quests, and I have like these three main stories going on that I'm trying to like work towards too. So there's no shortage of things that you can do when you hop in. And my friend is like focusing on like the base building aspect of the game, and I've been focusing on like the side mission aspects of the game, and we just have a totally different experience. The game is beautiful, and it has some problems though. I mean, I've had some lag spikes, some big lag issues, and frame rate problems, and crashing, and Things being kind of just not perfect, but it's
some techie issues.
It's some techie issues, but it's the game is enormous, and it's, you don't have to load. Once you're loaded in, you fly to a planet, and there's no load screen from you going from the ground to the planet to up to the space station, and then off your ship into the space station, and then teleporting into another, you know, traveling faster than light to another star system, and then flying around that star system and going from planet to planet. It's beautiful.
Is there a narrative? Is there like a story?
You're kind of like this lost guy that doesn't remember who he was, and so the narrative is kind of like, how did you get here? How did you crash on this first planet? And you're sort of like going back trying to find how you got there, and you're from what I've gleaned from the story so far, because I haven't done much of the main plot, honestly, it's sort of like you were something special. Okay. And I'm just starting to unravel like what that means, and like you're different than other people. You have a connection to like these ancient artifacts that are all over the galaxy. There's like these ancient alien artifacts that you keep having to like go to and talk to, and they are leading you towards something, and I know enough on the internet that it's leading you towards the center of the universe. So that's pretty cool, and I don't know what I'll find out when I get there, but the game is great. So okay. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and I'll probably keep playing it. But I love that they keep fixing things and adding stuff, and it scratched that itch of like I always wanted a space flight simulator too, like you're flying through space and like getting into dogfights with pirates and stuff, and it has pretty good action. So I've been having fun just running around killing pirates and stopping them from raiding like NPC frigates and stuff like that. And you can go and be a pirate too, and you can shoot down frigates and steal goods and then have the cops chase you down and stuff. So it's
sounds
pretty
like you're
cool.
Enjoying yourself.
I'm definitely enjoying myself. So
cool.
But you guys don't have much in the way of games to talk about, so
yeah, not really.
Not really. So
I was just gonna say I'm still on that Destiny grind.
Yeah.
I'm the thing that I'm grinding for now is my sleeper simulant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a good heavy weapon, and
well, and they're preparing for their patch coming out, you know. So they're adding
a DLC, expansion pack. Mm-hmm. Their Forsaken comes out in 3 weeks.
Oh yeah,
which I'll be buying because they're hyping it up a lot. They're
hyping
a lot
it a lot.
The game,
yeah.
It's going to be a big narrative, you know, moment. Is their central character Cade, the roguish hunter vanguard, voiced by Nathan Fillion, is going to be killed?
Yeah.
Like, and that's going to spur on the story of Forsaken. It's not a spoiler. They said that.
Yeah, in the trailer, he gets killed.
You know that he's going to get smoked.
Yeah.
And it's about the hunt for his killers.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea. I don't really, you know, Cade is a beloved character in the series, but you know what? It's a narrative kind of, they're making a big jump to do that, obviously. And Nathan Fillion has a TV show that's premiering in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So he's too busy to regularly give new audio to this gaming
franchise. Right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
He's really expensive, so you know they're killing off his character. I don't have a problem with that.
I haven't had a lack of hate towards Destiny 2 over the years, so I apologize for being this, you know, the same kind of tone, but the last two expansions were really disappointing. So I don't think I'm buying this out the gate. I really
Curse
don't.
Curse of Osiris was weak sauce. Golden Mercury was weak sauce. I've really enjoyed Warmind. I've liked Mars. I've liked the aesthetic of the weapons that you can earn.
Once I finished the story, I had no draw to go back. I had no,
okay. That's totally legitimate, dude. I enjoy going around and shooting aliens in the face. It's very relaxing.
Yeah, I mean,
I go online and I play for an hour or two, maybe a day,
right?
Not more than that, and I run around and I earn some things and complete my milestones. I enjoy the casual nature of it right now. So,
right,
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that.
That kind of thing, I can't disagree with. I mean, it's the mechanics of the game are still amazing, and the graphics. But I don't know, man. I might have been burnt out on Destiny 2. Maybe
that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So we'll see. And maybe I'll get it eventually. But I don't think it's going to be a day one buy for me. So, anyways,
I got you.
What do you think, Chris? Do you think you'll buy day one? Destiny 2 Forsaken?
You know, my answer to that, even 3 weeks ago, would have been an automatic yes.
Mm.
But I don't know. I think I don't know about day one. Yeah, maybe, probably. I'm lukewarm on it, frankly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm lukewarm. Little bit. I'm just playing other games, and I'm really excited about Fallout 76. And I
when
had
does
a,
that drop?
That's in I think November.
Okay.
So I mean, it's a little further away, but like I think I'm going to be playing that for a while, and I actually was going to text you, Chris, and see if you were going to buy the new Warcraft expansion.
I was just about to ask you guys about
because I like this is the, I mean I World of Warcraft took over my life for a few years there and. And honestly, it's always been like the heroin that I don't want to relapse on. That's how I look at it. It's sort of like the addiction game. But like, if you said to me you were buying that, I was thinking about re-upping on World of Warcraft because the new expansion looks great, and they've been hyping it like crazy. And I don't know, like I still love that game and. It looks great.
Do you guys know? I mean, does Sean still play Christopher?
He
gave it up. Yep. Okay. And I texted him the other day, saying it's funny we bring this up because I was like, dude, I'm jonesing to play some Warcraft. I texted him, and his response was, go to a meeting.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic! Awesome. I love that.
It's exactly the right response. Yeah, but I cannot rule it out, dude. I haven't subscribed. I haven't played Warcraft in.
Sean likes sounds like a good guy to be your sponsor. Then I don't have a sponsor,
I haven't played in over a year. I think.
Oh wow! Yeah, I mean it's been longer than that for me, but it's sort of. I don't know. This latest expansion looks awesome.
I did not get all the way through Legion. I definitely fell off. And then I was paying for it in six month chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my last 6 month chunk ran out, I did not re-up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're trying to draw people back. How many years has this game been going? Like 10 years, something like that? So, I mean...
More than 10.
Yeah.
It was 2004, I think.
It's so interesting that they've added so much to it, and they had, I mean, they're
great
nowhere...
Game. It's one of the best games I've...
One of the best games
forever be
ever made.
One of the best games of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's... I have many gaming memories, and many of my best are in WoW.
Well,
it's a great,
how much...
Great
game. Have you heard any numbers about like how many they sold, or like have they gotten a lot of people to come back because of this?
Actually, dude, I have been really like trying to avoid it all, because I know that if I went back to all of my old sites, sort of re-engaged, I'd be playing again immediately.
You're probably right. Probably a good idea.
I have not re-engaged at all. I don't listen to the podcast. I haven't done anything because I don't want to re-engage.
I think that's the right path for both of us, Christopher. Yep, yep, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a good idea. Just let me know if you buy it, all right?
I will. Give
me a little taste, you know. Just a little bit. Andrew.
Yeah.
Do you have trivia for us?
I have a very simple trivia question for you.
Let's go.
And it's to highlight the drought that we're currently in my opinion.
Mm.
And there's no selections. You just got to take a shot in the dark. How many days until Captain Marvel is released?
Oh. Okay. So
that's kind of the next movie
so
that I'm like.
So can you tell
about.
Us the date or are we blindly going here?
Blindly going.
Because I know it's 2019. It's probably... It's not going to be the summer movie, is it? I mean, because...
Next summer is Infinity War Part 2.
So, is it...
It'll be before that.
It'll be before that. So, it'll be like... what's a big release schedule? I mean, it's not Christmas, right?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, like May something.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, you're overshooting it.
Oh, really?
Oh, Infinity War Part 2 is early May. So Memorial
oh,
Day
so this one's going to be like a Christmas release. Interesting.
Take a guess.
Okay.
It's a nice round number. I'll tell you that. It's a nice round number.
It's a nice round number.
Let's see. Four of them.
I'm
at 235
days. 125
days. 125 days. Patrick, you're under. Chris, you're over.
Ooh.
The nice round number is 200 days.
From now. Today.
From today. 200 days.
200 days. Hello.
Crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's awesome. So what's the date? What's the release date?
March 8th, 2019.
Ooh, wow. March release. That's interesting. Huh.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I'm pumped, dude.
They're done filming that, right? They're just doing like post-production.
They finished filming it before they finished filming Infinity War Part 2.
Oh, wow. And then they're done with that too, or have we heard anything about reshoots or anything?
No, principal photography on both of those movies are done.
So they're just doing digital stuff.
Crazy.
Can I say, hold on. So I rewatched Ready Player One recently, and comparatively, like the motion capture and the CGI to, I also rewatched Infinity War. I bought it when it came out, and I've watched it like four.
I bought it on Blu-ray too. I haven't rewatched it yet, though.
Yeah, like comparing those two things, Marvel's CGI is just light years ahead of everybody else. Like.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Ready Player One looks terrible.
We talked about this when we did the one shot. You know there is not a 9-foot purple alien.
But he's perfect.
Fighting everybody. But you see a 9-foot purple alien, and you believe he's there.
You believe he's there. There's never a doubt. You're never questioning it. I question myself constantly watching Ready Player One. It's like, it doesn't look good, or it looks all muddy, and it's like way too dark, or way too, like, over the top and not believable. Every second of Thanos is believable. It's awesome. It's amazing. And
they've invested so heavily in the motion capture stuff.
And
it's just perfect.
And like, you know, Nick Fury being in the 90s and all these old characters who are, they're going to like de-age for Captain Marvel. Like, I'm
God,
totally
I hope it doesn't look stupid.
I think it's going to look great. I hope so.
But I mean, how they de-aged Tarkin for Rogue One, which looked good.
Well,
but how they de-aged Carrie Fisher for.
Right. Also, they did those two things without the actors who are playing them to play those parts. Right.
You're right.
So they did those separately, but they still look pretty good.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still jarring when you see Tony Stark young. It was still jarring.
It was, you know.
They improved that.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can tell that something is like off, but you're not like.
And that's going to be a problem. If that movie does that, that's going to be a problem.
You're right.
Yeah.
If it's the entire movie is like that, yeah, you might be right. We didn't even talk about Michelle Pfeiffer being in Ant-Man and Wasp, but she was great in that too. And
she was great.
She plays
good. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
But they de-aged her for a couple scenes too, and I thought it looked great. You know,
she's an older lady. She's not young, but she looks.
She still looks great,
dude.
She still looks.
Best looking women you'll
ever. Dude, she still looks beautiful. She has aged so well. Oh my gosh, she's still stunning.
Looking it up right now.
Mm-hmm. I bet she's like 65.
You got a guess on how old Michelle Pfeiffer is?
65.
Okay.
Christopher.
You
should never.
62.
You should never 60. Guess about a woman's age.
No,
that's
no,
bad.
No,
that's,
60 years old.
She's 60.
Yeah.
See, I overshot a little bit. She'd be upset with me if she was here. So I'm sorry.
She
Michelle.
Should be upset with
I'm
you.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, 65 is too old. I apologize.
So, all this talk. I need to go, gentlemen, and go watch Tequila Sunrise because she is ridiculously
ooh,
hot.
Tequila
Sunrise.
Sunrise.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
Alright, I'll look that one up. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the show, brotherskeeppodcast@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek at twitter.com, brothersgeek.com for all your podcasting things. And thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, and remember to be curious.